your 24-hour community station.
867 1190.
Near FM.
I'm delighted to be joined by Grace Hill from the Tala Drugs and Alcohol Task Force, the coordinator thereof. Grace, good morning. Welcome to the programme and thank you so much for joining us, because looking at the recently published report, I would imagine you are an extremely busy person.
Just a tad, Donnie. Thanks so much for having me. Yes, very delighted to be with you this morning. And yeah, the last couple of weeks since we launched the report has been busy for sure. But I'm glad that it helped us. I suppose on the same day we launched the report, on the 8th of November, we also launched a series of recovery videos where three amazing individuals came forward and offered to share their story to inspire others. And I think those two in tandem helped people connect with the findings in the report, but I suppose more broadly connect with the drug issue, because sometimes people don't, because they kind of say, that's not an issue for me. But the report findings were very stark, and obviously people tended to be fairly shocked by the number of women using crack cocaine. Crack cocaine use is probably our number one issue at the moment in Tala. And when we launched our report, we called for support from the government in the form of €1 million. And unfortunately, we've yet to hear from them.
And does not surprise me, is what I would say in relation to that. Now, a lot of people might be saying, well, why is this lad sitting in a radio station in Coolock talking to a lovely lady all the way over the other side in Talisher? That's almost in Wicklow. Anybody, yeah. Grace, who thinks that this is a problem which is unique to the Tala or the Tala area is living in cloud cuckoo land, I would suggest.
My sentiments exactly, Donny, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's funny because this, you know, the Lodge report actually threw up a lot of those issues. For instance, we're a task force that covers the areas of Tala and Whitechurch, and we had some people ringing from Rathfarnham saying, oh, hold on a minute now, you know, kind of not wanting to be associated with the drug issue. And I exactly what you say. I mean, you know, it's, you know, addiction is not selective. It affects, you know, most families, and it affects all communities. So I think when I got through those calls,
Grace, my point to you is that if a study such as this was carried out in most areas, I think that the results would probably be something similar.
Oh no, exactly. Yeah, I absolutely. You know, I mean, it's an issue that's an issue for the whole of, I suppose, Ireland at the moment. You know, not forgetting, I suppose, our number one drug, the national drug, which is alcohol, which came out fairly heavy in the report as well. And what the report does show is that, I suppose, it shows the distinct disadvantage that Tala's at. In that it's had huge growth in population over the last 10 years, and with that the growth in poverty has steadily grown alongside that as well, and then we've had a huge increase in drug use as well. You know, polydrug use is very common now. For anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's basically when people are coming to services with more than one drug issue, so they could be using tablets, crack and alcohol, or it just means a concoction of a few substances. So so that's the issue now. And I suppose with the report, what we were highlighting was the severe pressure that our frontline community addiction services are under. And I suppose that's a big concern for us, because particularly around the crack issue, which is spiralled out of control here, we have no funding to address that issue come the 1st of January. And that's deeply concerning for us, and also to the projects that are providing the service to people who are using crack. And I don't know what, you know, we have to regroup now and look at next steps. But I mean, for those two services, you know, they're professional services and they have responsibilities under governance as well. There literally is no fund in January to address these issues. And now, I know,
just before you move on, Grace, or before we move on, there's two things that I just want to ask you arising out of that. Number one, and this is may be an unfair question, what's the current population of Tala? And the other one is, tell us, I mean, we've heard you use the phrase a couple of times there, crack cocaine. Like, most of us are familiar with the idea of the rolling up of the 50-euro note and cutting it up with a credit card and snorting cocaine up your nose. So what's the difference between that, crack cocaine, and what's the population of Talla?
Well, the population of Talla is in and around 90,000. But we kind of estimated, with because we're a drug task force based in Talla, the next task force to us is the southwestern region. That covers Kildare and West Wicklow. And so we have Rathcoole, Saggart and City West all looking for support from our drug task force as well as the Whitechurch side, and whether they like it or not, Rathfarnham area as well, are all looking for support from us. So we actually estimate that our area with that is around, could be anything from 100 to 140,000. Now, your next question around crack cocaine. So yeah, it's basically cocaine that has been cooked, if you like, and put into a rock form, and then people burn that rock and then usually smoke it.
Now, my understanding, limited as it is that we would be pretty familiar in this country with heroin, with cocaine, with hash and all that, and while they are addictive, this crack cocaine is absolutely lethal, with the ability that it has to hook a person more or less straight away.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You see, you're getting a more intense high with crack cocaine as opposed to if you were to use opiates like heroin. With that comes people constantly wanting to chase that intense high, and so they're using, you know, they're consuming much more, you know, higher amounts of it, and unfortunately getting into levels of debt more quickly. So you have people that are coming to services that are completely dishevelled, and, you know, it has impacted all the other areas of their life, like, you know, possibly their ability to manage a household or to get a child to school or, you know, put food in the press. These are the basic things that people are presenting, having difficulties with. And then you have other people who aren't engaged with services at all and actually require outreach, you know, they're homeless or whatever. So, it's definitely another level. It brings another level of pressure to community addiction services, for sure, because people are presenting with massive issues, and that, you know, they need help. You know, might have need help around tenancy issues, for instance, and money management. This is more than, I suppose, services can do, you know, but they're trying to work, you know, with an interagency approach and reach out to the likes of TUSLA, the local authority, the HSE. And that's happening, you know, they're doing that as much as they can, but they're really struggling because, you know, our sector is already usually underfunded, and received massive cuts, cumulative budget cuts from 2008 to 2014, which have never been restored.
And actually, speaking of cuts, I just see there that Talla has the joint lowest number of Gardaí per head of population in the Dublin metropolitan area. So, I mean, that in itself is...
Yeah.
It's a perfect storm, really, Grace, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. That's the perfect way to put it, actually, Johnny. And also, you know, that's what we highlighted this, by doing this research. I think we have the evidence there that shows we are not fit for purpose, if you like. We're not funded for what the communities require. And it shows, I suppose, a huge amount of disparity in terms of our population, the level of drug use, and what we're actually being funded. It's just not real. And unfortunately, as I say, I know the Taoiseach commented on last week at the citywide conference, actually, you know, he's very aware it's had a report, but I mean, we're holding firm, we're still waiting to hear from the government about how.
Yeah, but in all honesty, Grace, and I don't for one instant mean to be rude, but that to me is what I call lip service or handy chat. Sure, I mean, we're all aware of it, but it's the people that are in a position to do something about it, as in make a phone call to somebody somewhere, say, look, release that funding and release it now. I mean, you know, if you look at this, I've another way of looking at this, and if you look at the figures that you're dealing with there as just people, and I don't mean it that way, but
yeah, no, I know.
If you took that volume of people that's coming through your door every day of the week, and doors like yours around the place, this is not a unique problem to tell them. If that number of people were getting killed in bus crashes every day of the week, I guarantee you one thing, there'd be something done about buses getting crashed in the country.
And listen, this is the thing, and let me tell you, there's more funding put into the awareness of safe driving, let me tell you, than there is in terms of drug awareness. That's a whole other area that needs investment as well. And the fact is, the million we're looking for is literally nothing. It just goes to show how underfunded our sector is. If people actually look at the figures in our report, it's shocking. In terms of the investment that's been made into the drug issue,
or not being made, as the case may be, I think
not being made. And I suppose enough is enough. Now, I know certain members of the Oireachtas are calling for a citizens' assembly next year, and we welcome that, because we do think, you know, the drug issue needs to be back on the government's agenda. We need to be talking about this. As you say, it's a bigger issue than talent. But at the moment, it's a resource issue for us. We know there's bigger discussions to be had, but at the moment it's a resource issue. And it's not something like, okay, we launched on the 8th of November, but this is something that we've been talking about to the department for over a year now, about the crack issue that has spiralled out of control. And the lack of response to that is astounding.
Yeah, but the other side of that, Grace, and, you know, having done countless interviews over the years in relation to this and other topics that affect, and I'm going to call it out for what it is, deprived and underprivileged areas, it's no coincidence that these problems arise where across the board government funding has been cut for these areas. And you can call out any of the areas, because they ring this city. They're right around the periphery of the city centre. They're all the way around the former perfect circle.
Now, but you see, Donnie, as well, like,
is it a case, Grace? Yeah. Is it a case? And it's a point I've made before to different people from different organisations that I was talking to about different things that affect their communities. Is it a case that there's a perception in government, and I'm going to say this, whether the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland like it or not,
Grace,
to hell with them, they don't vote for us anyway, so whatever.
Well, it's not a middle class issue, that we all know that. And it's funny, because lately I've been, you know, having discussions about, you know, government supporting the drug issue. And yes, okay, you look back at the Rabbit report, that was a left-wing government, and, you know, he was Labour, and that's how the task force was. But if you think about it, that all happened after the Veronica Guerin scenario. It was all crisis. It was all firefighting. So, you know, I welcome the Citizens' Assembly piece that we need to go back. You know, we need to go back. We need to revisit where we're at with this, because certainly, like, for instance, the 6 million budget they're proposing for 2022 is just not going to cut it at all. That's nowhere. Like, within that, they're proposing 500,000 to cover the crack issue for the entire country. Like, that's completely inadequate, and that shows that they are not listening to what task forces are saying, whatever. But as you say, Donnie, the situation about drug issue and being more common, I suppose, in deprived areas, that's well researched and well documented. But I will say that Pat Leahy in the Irish Times said it well there the Saturday before last, when he used a quote from Joe Biden, and he said, Joe Biden once said, don't tell me your values, show me your budget and I'll tell you your values. And that's so relevant here. Because, as you say, lip service last week, the Taoiseach is saying, oh, you know, we feel for Tala, we know where they're at, we've read the report. I'm sorry, money where your mouth is now. We actually don't have a service in January for crack cocaine users, and that to me is disgraceful.
Well, the only thing I will say on a positive note, Grace, is you have one good woman in your corner there in Senator Lynn Ruane, because she will give it vent. Now, I mean, from talking to you, Grace, and from talking to other people involved with community groups around the city, I have a horrible, horrible feeling. And you mentioned it there. I think he was the first minister for drugs. He may have been a junior minister in the cabinet, Pat Rabbit. And there was a report produced under his stewardship. And
the Rabbit report,
And he was then, I think, succeeded by the Fianna Fáil chap from Finglas, who lives in Ashburn. His name escapes me at the moment. But I have a feeling that all these reports are sitting on shelves somewhere gathering dust, and nobody in a position of authority has any interest in acting on them. I mean, Citizens' Assembly, brilliant, wonderful, oh, fabulous. That's next year. You need action today, not we'll look at it next year. That's no good.
Yeah.
And it's no good to the people who are suffering. And more importantly, and this is something I want you to talk to me about, Grace, you mentioned the children of users there, but there's also the other end of the demographic. There's their parents who are being threatened and living a life of terror because of money that's owed.
Intimidation. Well, just to, on your previous point there, in terms of the urgency, there's no urgency in the budget that's been proposed to address the drug issues next year. That's what we were saying. You know, they were saying, and even as we were launching the report, a department rep actually, you know, on the Zoom, put into the chat, "Oh, sure, we're giving money next year to crack." That's not good. That's not good enough. We need action now. But yeah, absolutely, what you're saying. I hear what you're saying about, you know, I suppose. It can impact children for sure, and then intimidation is a huge issue too, and you know, a lot of people are experiencing intimidation, drug-related intimidation, and that's something we're highlighting all the time. We actually have just recently, one of our services has set up a new information service to support people with intimidation, a new advice clinic, so that's welcomed within the Killinarden community, and a lot of our services are working with people impacted by that and threats and stuff. So yeah, it's very serious.
And Pat Carey, by the way, was the other minister.
Pat was lovely, yeah.
I couldn't think of there. And I think Catherine Noonan was there as well for a time. So, you know, and I've spoken to all of them about this. So, I mean, this is like a recurring nightmare. Now, I know you're living it.
Can I say something, Donny? Because I was talking to this, we got some media support, you know, in terms of launching a report. And I was talking a lot about the different ministers. And I was like, oh, Pat Carey, actually really liked Pat. Pat Rapp, of course, a friend of ours as well. And we were talking about the different ministers who were you know, in charge of the stuff. And we got very little from any of them, and that's the truth. And I say that, well, you know, I'm just going to say that out like you'd say it. We got very little from any of them, and there's been absolutely no input. Like, the HSC budget has hugely increased in the last 10 years. None of that has gone to the front line. You know, the previous minister, like Frank Fien is the current minister. Before that, there was Catherine Bourne. She brought us in saying, listen, 4 million extra coming into the drug task force. And we were like, oh, brilliant. But sure, none of that came to the front line either, or very little of it. You know, so that's what we need. We need more, you know, more money into actually support and services on the ground. That's where the struggle is.
Can I put it to you, Grace, that across the board, and I'm not for one second making little of your work out there, because it's Trojan and it's like pushing a rope up a hill. But I think what's really needed in this country, and the sooner it is imposed the better, and whether people like it or not, I have a feeling it may not exist, but there needs to be proper accountability for how public money is spent. And I mean, you mentioned the HSE budget there, it's out of control for as long as I can remember, and that's a whole different debate, but
my view on that, Donny, is, you know, our community services on the ground are completely professional. They're all compliant with the Charities Governance Code. The same thing needs to be applied across the board. I totally hear what you're saying there, and if there's a governance deficit, I can tell you it's not in community services on the ground, because they have very little to play with in order, you know. And because obviously, you know, people have to be compliant with the Charities Governance Code, and that's, I suppose, a level of insurance that you can have, and you know, even if you're donating to community services, even as well. But absolutely, I think there needs to be a reprioritization of the HSE budget for sure.
Grace, can I put it to you that there's a kind of a Trump-esque view being taken by officialdom here? And what I mean by that is, and we saw it when he was in the White House, he was giving out in relation to the COVID numbers. But stop, what's all the testing? Stop the testing. If the testing stops, we won't see the numbers. If organisations like yours are hamstrung to the extent where they can't produce reports like this, well, then we won't see the numbers. We won't know about the problem, so we can gloss over it and keep
getting your heads in the sand. Absolutely. And that's why it was a really proud day for us, I suppose, because we've been talking about these issues for a long time, and that report gave us, I suppose, the evidence in our pocket to say, yeah, we were right. This is how bad it is. Sorry. But this is how bad it is, and this is how much of a deficit we're in, I suppose, in terms of actually addressing the issues in a real way and supporting people in a real way. Like, anything we're doing, for instance, around the crack issue is new, and it's not sustainable. We might be throwing projects a few quid. At the moment, we have two pilot projects in Tala, And literally, I'll be honest, Donny, we're giving them 25,000 each to run a crack service. Now, that is not good enough. And that's why we felt we really needed to, I suppose, go hard or go home with this launch and say, sorry, this is what we need. We're doing a good job. We want to do more. And on the positive note, I suppose, don't want to be too doom and gloom, recovery is happening, you know. And that's why we launched the videos in tandem with the research to say recovery is happening, inshallah, in our communities, and we want to do more of it. Look what we could do if we had, you know, if we had more money, we could do much more of it. And if you want to see them, actually, they're on our YouTube channel, and they're truly inspiring in terms of looking at three different individual recovery stories and how far these people have come.
And Grace, just before we part company this morning, for people who want to find out more, maybe get help themselves or see the report, and like I said, when you read this report, don't be thinking it's a unique problem for Tala, it's everywhere. Where can people find out more, Grace?
So our website is Tala DATF, so that stands for Drug and Alcohol Task Force, taladatf.ie, and there's links on that to our YouTube and all our social media stuff as well. But yeah, feel free to get in touch with me. I'd be happy to share more information about what we do.
Grace, will you do me a favour? Will you keep in touch as time moves on? Because this is a topic that, whatever about anybody else, I certainly am not going to let go of, because I think it needs to be highlighted. It's as big an issue as the housing crisis, and one feeds into the other in one form or another. Grace Hill, coordinator of the Tala Drugs and Alcohol Task Force. Grace, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Pleasure. Thank you, Johnny.
Bye-bye now. Take care.
Take care. God bless.
Your 24-hour community station.
867 1190.
Near FM.